Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Yes, it's the Weekly Worldview. It is the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate a lot of stuff, and we don't do things like other people do things. But let's just get right to it. Welcome back, everybody. It's good to have you here. It's been a dreadful, this past week was utterly dreadful. Just a horrible week. So I want to start with something that's a little upbeat. Well, should I start with the complaint about the music? We had another complaint about the music, he said, to his extremely attractive audio engineer. Yes, we have, let's see, I'm not sure who this is from because I didn't write it down. But he said, I didn't know we were allowed to complain about the music. My complaint, colon, turn it up. Y-U-P up. Turn it up. Turning it down too low is obviously racist, he said. I don't know, I didn't write down who it was. I just jotted the note down. It was one of our billions of listeners coming to us. Anyway, I don't want to. I've got more notes here that I have to get to. So anyway, I wanted to start out. Now that wasn't necessarily uplifting, although it did include the word up, which he spelled Y-O-U-P, up. Anyway, I thought that was kind of odd. But anyway, I want to start from the Never Give Up file. A cow. Let's see, this is from the Independent over in the United Kingdom. A cow escaped. Last month, it refused to get into a truck, taking it to the slaughterhouse. Instead, the cow rammed a metal fence and made a dash for a nearby lake. Now, the owner of the cow attempted to get it back on the farm, but the cow broke one of his workers' arms and escaped, jumped in the water, and swam to one of the islands in the middle of the lake. Now, so he called firefighters, and they used a boat to get to the island, and the cow swam another 50 yards to a neighboring peninsula and escaped the firefighters even. So anyway, for the last couple weeks now, the cow's been living alone on the island, attacking anyone who comes near. And a singer over there in, where is this? Is this in the United Kingdom? Oh, no, this is in Poland. Sorry. We have more from Poland. Anyway, a singer in Poland offered to pay for the hero cow to be saved from death. And the owner has agreed not to kill the cow because the cow just wouldn't give up. And so there you have it. An uplifting story. Another cow. An uplifting story to start a week. A new week after the dreadful past week. I want to do some other things before I get to all the bloodshed and murder and mayhem. Did you guys hear this? This is from Breitbart. Michael Mann has been awarded an award, the Science Award. Let's see. The American Association for the Advancement of Science, the AAS, has given its prestigious public, now how do I say this? It's prestigious Public Engagement with Science Award to climate scientist Michael Mann. Do you recognize that name? He said. No. Michael Mann is the creator of the climate science hockey stick. You remember the hockey stick? It showed how the temperature was going to jump up and it was all completely hokey, made up stuff, and now he's been given a prestigious award from the American Association for the Advancement of Science, also known as the AAS. Yes. And now let's go to the Justice File. If you remember, last month, maybe 2 months ago, we reported here that the mayor of Seattle, Ed Murray, well, he was the mayor at the time, well, he had been accused of, well, basically being a child molester. Paying underage boys for, anyway, it's just disgusting. And his main accuser, the one who had brought the lawsuit against him, let's see here, the lawsuit that led to Murray's resignation, was found dead last Friday of an apparent drug overdose at a motel in the Seattle area. He had recently received a $100,000 payment as part of a $150,000 settlement from the city of Seattle. So, intentionally or not, the city of Seattle managed to kill the, because this guy was a drug addict and a male prostitute, just a mess. So after having been molested by the mayor of Seattle as a, I think, a 15-year-old. And so now he's been removed from the scene. And Seattle Mayor Ed Murray is no doubt contemplating reviving his political career, which is quite possible in the modern day climate of just corruption and immorality and godlessness and all of that. Let's go from there to the war file. Three people were shot at Mardi Gras, but nobody really noticed because that happened on Tuesday, and we all know that there were much bigger shootings that got everyone's attention. But I just wanted to mention that because I hate Mardi Gras. It reminds me of, I don't know, it's like what the Philistines would be doing. Or what all the people like surrounding the ark making fun of Noah, that's what they would have been doing. It would have looked a lot like Mardi Gras. So three people were shot. Let me see here. Oh, I'm sorry. A shooting left three dead is what I meant to say. That's how it was reported at ABC. A shooting left three people dead. We don't know if anyone actually shot anyone, but a shooting left three dead is how that went. That's from the war file right down there in New Orleans, believe it or not. Now, this is an interesting story from the Justice File. Fox TV Channel 6 is reporting on the very first use of a drone to capture a suspect in Walworth County in Missouri. This is the first time the sheriff's department has ever employed a drone to catch a fleeing suspect. So this happened on the morning of February 15th. A 26-year-old drunk contractor jumped into his boss's truck and took off, is how it all began. So deputies spotted the truck heading into Lake Geneva, and they used stop sticks and blew out the tires of the truck. But he kept going. But eventually the deputies spotted the truck, and they dispatched canine officers to track the guy on foot. Well, it wasn't long before the canines lost the suspect's tracks. And that's when the sheriff decided to deploy the drone. "Send in the drone," he said. And the drone was dispatched. And this is really cool because it was a heat-seeking drone. They found the heat signature of the suspect using the forward-looking infrared FLIR. And it turned out that this poor slob, this drunken moron, was actually unconscious in a bog with signs of hypothermia. So the drone not only tracked him down and helped the sheriff capture him, but the drone actually, it may have saved the guy's life. The sheriff says if the drone didn't pick up the heat signature, we may have been doing a body recovery a day or two later, if we were able to find him at all. And so the drunken sack was taken to jail, and I'm sure he's sobered up now and really regrets everything. But you know, this reminds me of the story of the very first DNA conviction in history. Because and you can catch it on Forensic Files. If you watch headline news long enough, you'll see it because it rotates about every 3 weeks. You'll see the Forensic Files about the very first DNA conviction. And what was interesting about that is that the very first DNA conviction in the history of justice not only convicted someone, but it also freed someone who had been wrongly convicted, proving that God is no respecter of persons. The DNA did not lie. Yes, it convicted a murderer, but it also released a murderer. And then this poor slob, now he does get caught by the drone, but the drone saved his life. So, anyway, there you have that.
Did you say release the murderer?
The DNA, did I say released a murderer? I meant they convicted a murderer. Thank you. I did way too much physical labor today. We did more physical labor today than I've probably done in the last 8 months combined. Because we're in day 16 of the siege by what we think may be what's called a coy wolf. I just heard about the coy wolf, by the way. In serendipitous fashion, I found out about the coy wolf while listening to Real Science Radio. I got the whole 2016 year, and I'm listening to Real Science Radio, and they talk about the coy wolf, which is a cross between a coyote, a wolf, and a domestic dog. And to qualify as a coy wolf, it has to be, if I'm not mistaken, 10% dog, 30% wolf, 60% coyote, and some wool, I think. So some evolutionists look at the coy wolf and they say, look, this is evolution happening right before us. We've got a new... But it turns out it's really just the same kind of animal, the canine. It's a wolf, it's a dog, it's a coyote, and they can interbreed. And by golly, I think that's what's been happening down in the creek bed. Because that coyote I almost had a shot at, it didn't look like a typical, you know, scruffy little coyote. He looked like a beefy wolf-like, terrifying. Anyway, now how did I get off on the coy wolf? I just did. I got off on the coy wolf. I went there from a drone and DNA to the coy wolf, and there you go. Oh, that's right, the physical labor, because there's a breach in the chicken run, and now the chicken run has to be secure, and you start fixing a minor problem. This is the thing about ranch life. You start with a little project that should take 15 minutes, and 12 hours later, you're sprawled out on the grass, sweating and covered in blood and splinters. Your hands are bleeding. The main gatepost, it had to be reset. It became obvious as the day progressed. And so that's what we did. And so there, and I now, and so I'm a little bit off. I'm not in radio mode. I'm in ditch digging mode. If I had to dig you a ditch right now, I could do a good job. But as far as doing a broadcast and commenting on the news, I may not do so well. Don't give up. Don't give up. Thank you all for being here. It's always good to have you. And I do want to point out, though, one thing. As I was surveying the property, as I was taking my mini breaks from all the physical labor, I noticed today that chickens and landscaping do not mix. They do not. The chickens are slowly but surely destroying the landscaping. We have a very... pristine grasses and shrubs and flower beds and ground cover. It's all very, very well done. Well, it was. Yeah, we had. But you know what? I actually enjoy the chickens more than the landscaping. Landscaping's a lot of work. I mean, it looks good for what, 3 months in Colorado? Not even. You get a little bit in the spring, everything's nice and green, and then the summer scorches, everything's brown, and then all winter. And anyway, so if you do decide to get free-range chickens, don't invest a lot in the landscaping. That's just my advice to anyone who's considering such a thing. Now, let's go back to the war file, and for that, as you can well imagine, we go to Baltimore, Maryland, where this Monday past, February 11th, the headline screamed out from the Baltimore Sun and rejoiced. Baltimore had 11 straight days without a homicide. That was the headline in the Baltimore Sun on Monday.
So the 12th day there was something.
Well, now don't give it away here.
I'm sorry.
That's Baltimore. I just want to read how happy they were. Baltimore has had 11 days and counting without a homicide. It's the longest streak since 2015. And the great news is that it coincides with the start of a 72-hour community-led ceasefire that kicked off on February 2nd. See, everybody was just feeling good and singing Kumbaya, and everything was going wonderfully. Now, there were 5 non-fatal shootings during that span. So it could be that the best marksmen in Baltimore are either dead or in jail. And that could be what prolonged this streak of days without a homicide. These guys just are not very good shots. Now, the Sun reported, listen to this, if you're considering Baltimore as a vacation spot, the longest streak in Baltimore without a homicide came in March of 2014 when the city went 17 days. And that whole month, listen to how the Baltimore Sun reports this. That whole month saw just 7 killings, tied for the fewest in a month since 1970. They were very happy over there. Huh. So anyway, as my extremely attractive audio engineer has alluded, it did end after 12 days. February 13th, there was a fatal shooting. A man was found unresponsive with bullet holes in his chest in Baltimore, and then the bloodbath just has continued since then. So, are congratulations in order to Baltimore? No, I don't think so. It's just sad what's happened since around the time I was born, actually. Yeah, it's really been bad. Now, speaking of the war file, let's go to New York City, where 2 twin brothers have been arrested for making a bomb. Yeah, one was a former teacher there in the Bronx, and apparently they were paying minors to strip fireworks of their gunpowder. And one of the minors turned them in. And so the New York City Police Department has stopped what probably was a burgeoning terrorist bombing there in New York City. And, we're glad for that. But it's all just percolating under the surface, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, America is kind of like Baltimore. Speaking of being under siege here at the McBurney compound. In America, we count the minutes between the murders. And that's if you don't count the innocent children being slaughtered through abortion, because then you'd just be counting seconds in between. And so here we have a terrorist bombing averted in New York City, but to what end? Well, it's just a matter of time before the next mayhem, bloodshed, and murder explodes and is vomited out upon the citizens of New York and Baltimore and all parts in between. All right, so let's get to the shooting. We have to talk about the school shooting. I have that filed in the war file as well because the schools appear to be war zones. I was watching the coverage live in the evening, and I ended up watching Sean Hannity, which I never do. But I was surfing through the channels, and I saw a very creepy picture of the Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, who looks robotic. Or at least she did that night. And who else was there? There was the governor, Rick Scott. looked like a cybernetic organism who had been programmed and sent out onto the stage. Now, I thought it was quite big of, well, I suppose I should tell, if you're not aware, there was a school shooting in Parkland, Florida, and a maniac shot and killed 17 students some adults there at that high school. Just in case you just came in from Mars. But we all appreciate the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, immediately offering to pay for the funerals of everyone involved. Yeah, they made that offer before they had even wiped all the blood up off the floor. And since it is a government school, the state of Florida, it would be considered responsible. And so they did offer to pay for the funerals. And if you didn't see the video of Pam Bondi offering to pay for the funerals, it was just creepy. That's all. It was just weird. Let's see. Then they went back to Hannity. Well, no, I want to talk about the local news here in Colorado first, because it's just like your local news. And the anchorette there on what are we watching? We're watching Fox local news here in Denver. The anchorette said after they did all of the obligatory emoting about how horrible this is and terrible and shocking and tragic and why, they asked why half a dozen times. And the anchorette said, we just cannot. We cannot get used to this. We shall not get used to this. Now let's swing out to the weather deck because there's a front coming in. What's happening up there, Bill? And the fact is, we have gotten used to it. We are used to it. Because you can only absorb so much violence and bloodshed and murder and be shocked and feel terrified or horrified. You just can't. There's only so much you can take, and then you have to move on because you have life, right? The life goes on. So we are used to it. And, I guess I just wanted to observe that we are used to it. Despite the desire of the anchorette on the Fox local news here in Denver, we are used to it. So one more thing. I am officially sick of the word horrific. I think it's been overused. It's been overdone. It's not even a real word. It's a word that was made up probably after the school shooting started. It's a combination of horrible and terrific. It's horrific. Okay, I'm sick of it. Because it's really not horrific anymore. It's just the daily news. That's all. And so the term horrific has lost its edge. So we might as well toss it into the ash heap and find another word to try to express how horrible things are getting, especially in the government schools. All right, so now I want to go back to Hannity. Hannity and almost every conservative talking head I heard this past week, last week, talked about securing the schools. We've got to secure the schools. We want, and then they had debates whether it should be armed retired military, armed police, professional security guards. How should we arm the school? Should there be only one entryway? Only one entrance and egress point in the schools? Doesn't that make good sense? Well, I guess if you're in a prison, and maybe that is the effect that will go out from this, is that the government will be forced to make the schools look so much like prisons that maybe parents will consider, well, maybe I shouldn't send my kid there. They've got the barbed wire. They've got the metal detector. They've got the men walking around with semi-automatic weapons, the police, the retired military. Maybe this is someplace I don't want to send my kid. That could be one outcome. What else do I have here? Oh, there was another person there in the creepy video with Pam Bondi and the governor, Rick Scott. The superintendent was there. And he was quick to point out, Superintendent Robert, he was quick to point out that today's shooter was a former student, currently enrolled in Broward County Schools. He did have to, yeah. Because, you see, this kid was, he was expelled and sent to a school for at-risk youth, ironically enough. He was sent to a school. He was called at-risk youth. And the newspaper calls this his former high school, but I'm telling you people, this is not his former high school. He may have been enrolled at another school because of circumstances, but this was his high school. This was his high school. Anyway, what else? Governor Scott finally gets up there. And they, you know, they crank the key on his back and get him wound up. And he lurches up onto the lectern. And he talked about parents all over America must be saying to themselves, quote, God, I hope this never happens to my family. So he actually used the name of God. And then he called the shooter pure evil, which is a term that we are only familiar with because of God. If it weren't for God and we all just evolved from slime and we're just electronic molecules and meat and muscles and nerves, there would be no evil. You know, when a coy wolf eats a duck, it's not evil. Because they're not people. And God doesn't look at their behavior in the way he looks at ours. We having, like God, the knowledge of good and evil. So he talks about God, he mentions pure evil, and then he asked for prayers. He asked for prayers. All the while never addressing the fact that the school in which this horrible, unbelievable massacre just occurred is officially godless. It's officially atheistic. That school taught that kid that he was just a mass of meat and nerves and electrons, and they didn't tell him where he came from, they didn't tell him where he was going, but they did encourage him to have as much sex as possible, which I'll guarantee you is involved in this. That kid was kicked out of his school for having a fight with his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend. Now, you'll never hear about that. That part of the story will never be covered, that this kid went insane partially due, once again, as happened so many times, to sexual immorality. So the governor had the opportunity to, I don't know what you do. If you're the principal, the superintendent, you fall on your knees and cry and pray to God. God help us, what's happening here? But no, they stand up and they give us the platitudes. And Sean Hannity talks about securing the schools. There's a debate about where should the metal detectors go? How many entryways? Should it be retired police? Yes, and him and that. And then none of them address the real point, which was actually addressed in a backhanded way by a Harvard professor today. I just saw the story before I went on the air. There was a Harvard professor who appeared on, I'm gonna forget his name because he's so vacuous. Hugh Hewitt. He appeared on Hugh Hewitt's show on MSNBC, meaning nobody would have ever known if it hadn't been picked up by other websites. But this Harvard professor asked Hugh Hewitt, where was God? Where was God when all this happened? You people who believe in God and you tell us to pray to God. Well, where was God when this happened? He said, I think this Harvard professor said to Hugh Hewitt that this basically helped him to understand that there is no God. It led him to believe absolutely there is no God, because surely no God would allow this to happen. At which point, I have no idea what Hugh Hewitt said, because I don't watch Hugh Hewitt. I can't listen to Hugh Hewitt. But I know what I would have said. I would have said, Professor, please keep in mind that God had been asked to leave the building. Thank you. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. And so now the FBI admits that it missed a tip. Yeah, the FBI admits that it missed a tip about this murder. By the way, I sent an email to Matt Drudge. I was like, Matt, why do you have to put this bastard's face up on your website for 3 days? Please take it down. Please take it down. No, he did not. I'm sure he gets 5 million emails a day, but there's no excuse. So let me finish this. The FBI got a tip from someone who knew this guy and called it in by name and said that specifically this guy might shoot up a school. And the FBI, for whatever reason, did not follow up. And I think I know the reason. And I don't think it was because they were obsessed with the Russia collusion case. I don't think that's the reason. I think that, by the way, the police had been called to his house 39 times. Everyone who apparently knew him thought he was pretty much nuts. He was expelled, as I said, for the fight related to sex between him and a girl and another guy and that girl and all that. Put in a school for at-risk youth. Well, I think that the FBI, the local police, school officials, friends, if he had any friends, associates, people who knew him, I think that he wasn't that noticeable. That's what I think. I mean, in hindsight, it all looks very obvious. But in a culture that's quite literally coming apart at the seams, this type of maniac becomes harder and harder to spot. Because there's so much bubbling and percolating under the surface. So much mental illness, so much anger, so much hatred, so much bloodlust. That only in hindsight does everybody realize. Yeah, that's what I think. It's harder and harder to spot these. The culture is vulgar and violent. And this guy went relatively unnoticed, even by police and FBI and law enforcement, governing officials who'd been aware, school officials. Anyway, that's my take on it. Now, what's the solution? Well, I've addressed this, I don't know how many dozens of times. How many mass shootings have there been since I went on the air? It's been a lot. First of all, you execute this guy quickly and painfully in public. Second, you demand that his name and his likeness be blotted out of history. No one shall be allowed to make reference to him by name, and no one shall be allowed to show his photograph. Nobody's allowed to put up a website and put up videos like they've done with the Columbine murderers. Those videos have been circulating. I'll bet this kid watched that kind of garbage. His name should be blotted out of history by law. And then we need to begin a pathway to parental responsibility. And we need the President of the United States, who everyone tells me is the most pro-family president since George Washington. He's the greatest. President Trump should stand up and give a speech and say that within the decade, the government will be out of the education business and parents will be expected to be responsible for the education of their children, not the government. Abolish the property taxes that support the schools, and set a 10-year pathway to end government education and allow parents to take responsibility. No, don't try to put God back in the school. Thank you very much. No, it's too late for that. You can't put new wine into old wineskins, so to speak. The wineskin must be discarded. That's the answer. That's the answer to school shootings. The overall answer is to turn in repentance and humility to Jesus Christ and beg him to help us. That's what we need to be doing. Begging and weeping and crying and saying, help us, please. We obviously do not know what we are doing. Things are going very badly. But instead, we will determine how many metal detectors, egress points, entrance points, armed guards, until the next one. That's all. So there. Now let's move on. See, there, we're used to it. Apparently, when Columbine happened, all the news media covered it nonstop for 24 straight hours. I don't know. I wasn't here. I was in Israel at the time when the shooting happened. I got a call from my tour guide. He was like, Doug, are you watching TV? I said, no, I'm not. I'm sitting in the window looking out over the old city of Jerusalem is what I'm doing. And he said, you need to turn on the TV. There's a school that's being shot up in Colorado. And we watched that for, anyway. But no longer does the news media stop for 24 hours and cover, because we're all used to it now. All right, so let's move on. Now I'm repeating myself, which I don't want to do. Let's go to the Hell on Earth file, where Paul Hellyer, the former Canadian Minister of Defense, declares that he believes that the Illuminati is real. Yes, the Illuminati, I said. That this is getting some play because he is a former Canadian Minister of Defense. If you're not familiar with the Illuminati, it is the secretive global elite who runs governments from behind the scenes and is plotting a new world order. Yes. Plotting a new world order. And I've been plotting this new world order since 1930. And so I don't know how together they are, if they are real. This fellow, he says that corrupt hidden leaders continue to wage needless wars and focus on profits rather than stopping climate change. So obviously he was the Canadian Minister of Defense quite some time ago and could very well be entering early stage dementia. I hope he sees a doctor about that. But a lot of people believe in the Illuminati, and I think every young man growing up in America or the West in general, at some point in their teenage to early 20s, they go and read books about the Illuminati, at least people who are politically aware. I know I did. I read it all and I thought, well, you know, it just seems a bridge too far. But I think the idea, why is it we all have heard of the Illuminati and the conspiracy theory has continued for the better part of 100 years or more? I think maybe it goes back to England. It's like 400 years old or something. I can't remember all the details, because they lost me after a while, and I didn't get into it all that deeply. But why does this idea of a secret cabal that is running everything and out beyond our control, and they pull the strings and all of that, why is that? I have a feeling that this type of thinking has been extant throughout all of human history. There's been this idea that there's powerful, dark, secret people who are actually controlling the world. Why is that? Well, I think that this stems from our collective memory of Satan influencing rulers at various times throughout history, which I think he has done, either him or people very close to him. And you have to keep in mind, up until Western civilization came upon the scene, and specifically in Europe, most of the world was a hellhole run by dictators, maniacs, murderers, and outright thieves who didn't even try to act like they were righteous in any way. And so I think we have this vestigial memory left over from all these centuries and millennia of evil people ruling. Maybe I shouldn't have said Satan, but I did. There you go. Could be Satan himself. This could go back to the pre-flood world when Satan actually ruled the world, I think. I think he actually did, him and his demons. So there, that's the Illuminati. I personally don't buy into all of it, but I do believe that there is a general mindset among very rich, greedy people that they're evil. And yes, they have a lot of influence because they have a lot of money. But are they having meetings with a secret handshake and this, whatever? And they got the super the little tattoos that they match up. I don't know about all that. So that's, but anyway, listen to this. If you were thinking maybe the Illuminati's not real, let's go to another story from the United Kingdom. The Justice File. That guy was a Canadian, but the story came from the Express in London, which is, who knows? It's a tabloid rag. We'll go from there to another tabloid rag. Well, this is Breitbart. But they're reporting on something from a tabloid rag. There is a 28-year-old man who appeared in court last week accused of plotting to kidnap, rape, and beat young girls. And he claimed that he could sell the footage for large sums of money. Listen to this. Police were tipped off after it emerged that this 28-year-old had divulged his plan to a prostitute in West London. This prostitute had met with this fellow back in 2015, and he starts telling her all this stuff, and at first she thinks it's just a drug-addled idiot. But eventually the prostitute got very concerned, and he had told her, he actually gave her a business proposition. Help me make these videos where we're going to kidnap, rape, and beat young girls, and we're going to dissolve their bodies in acid. And we're going to make videos, and the videos are going to be worth a lot of money. So she freaked out, and she went to the cops. And she told the cops what this guy told her, and the cops thought it was pretty outlandish. So they set up a sting. And then this 28-year-old maniac meets with the undercover agent and offers that agent the very same business proposition. And he said that we'll make millions of pounds and we'll be protected because those buying the film are top political people, very well connected, who can protect us. It'll all be covered up because the videos are going to be purchased by, apparently, the Illuminati. We know where you're going. You know where you're going. Yes, we know where you're going. All right. So let's move on from the Illuminati to the Army. This is from the Decline and Fall File. The United States Army will no longer require recruits to show that they can throw hand grenades 25 meters. Why? Have they made hand grenades that no longer have the same blast capacity? No. It's just that most recruits can't do it. And so the Army has decided, this is the United States Army for crying out loud. They've decided to drop the requirements. Well, how is that going to help in an actual combat situation when you blow yourself up with a hand grenade? I think you really want to throw that at least 25 meters, if I'm not mistaken. If memory serves me correctly, the blast radius for a hand grenade is about 15 meters. And I think you want to give yourself at least 10, maybe more. But nope, they are not going to require that. Starting next summer, the Army will remove the requirement unless these little fat bodies get in shape. But and then there's also the girls. The girls can't chuck a grenade as far as, you know, the boys. Although, the boys are pretty pathetic anymore, I suppose. Anyway, this is just insane. Somebody's going to get themselves blown up. Anyway, according to military.com, the Army trainers are saying it's just taking too much time. It's taking away from other aspects of training. Those aspects which will be relatively unimportant if someone blows themselves up with a grenade. But just in case you thought that was insane and crazy and foolish and horrific, if I can use that term, recruits will also no longer be required to successfully pass the land navigation course in order to graduate. And I went to boot camp, and that was the absolute hardest thing right there was the land nav. Man, that was difficult. That's where you take a compass and they tell you you have to shoot an azimuth and you have to get to a spot. And I was all over the board for, it was brutal. But I was not allowed to go to the rack that night until I figured it out. I remember it was dark when I finally found that flag and I dropped to my knees and I'm like, thank you. Anyway, it was brutal. I never had a natural affinity for land navigation. And you can ask the, this will probably get out, so I should just go ahead and confess to it. I was charged with guiding a convoy from an airport in South Korea through Seoul to Humphreys, Camp Humphreys, and we got lost. I got them lost. We ended up in the, they were building the Olympic Village at the time. So this was around 1987. They were building the Olympic Village, and the whole convoy ended up in a construction zone. And Korean guys with yellow hats and giant dump trucks guided us out. And some friendly Korean bar owner or something drew me a map so I could get us home. I never lived that down. I was so glad when all those guys shipped out. So I never heard the end of that. Anyway, I never had that natural affinity. But now they're not even going to make sure you get it. It's not going to be required that you pass land nav, and if you can only throw a grenade 10 yards, well, I guess they're going to teach them how to duck better. I'm not sure how that works out. Now, the Army insists that enlistees will still receive the same amount of training in hand grenade proficiency and land navigation, but it's no longer going to be a graduation requirement, which means what's the point of training them? Isn't the point of training to make sure that they learn how to do stuff? I thought that was the point, but it's not anymore. Apparently, it's to find out if transgendered and gay and straight can all live together with the black people and brown people and white people. Apparently, that's the major concern. Anyway, here's a quote from one of the Army trainers. They are going to learn all the technical aspects of hand grenade, and they are going to learn tactical employment, and they will throw a live grenade. I personally won't be very close to them, but anyway, he should correct himself. They're not going to learn how, they're going to be shown how, but that really misses the point, doesn't it? I mean, especially, it would be different, okay, if this were, let's say, driving school, where, you know, you might peel your tire up on the curb because they didn't really teach you how to parallel park all that well. You could scrape your mom and dad's awesome new rims, big grind spot in them. You might run over a stop sign, okay? This is a hand grenade, for crying out loud. There's a reason they call it horseshoes and hand grenades, okay? Yeah, all right, let's move on. Let's try to do something a little bit uplifting here. We'll go to the science file. A company based in Haifa, Bonus Bio Group, has concluded their second clinical study seeking to regrow bones in the lab. That's right. So here's what they do. This is really amazing. They use liposuction to retrieve fat cells from the body, from which they extract mesenchymal stem cells, and they isolate the stem cells. The cells are then grown in a culture, and then in a man-made simulation of the human body. After a few weeks, the new bone is injected back into the patient in the form of thousands of tiny little bone particles that this company calls Bonofil, because their company is called Bonus Bio Group. That's pretty cool. So it's going to help people suffering from osteoporosis, infections, cancer, traumatic injury from accidents. The new bones, by the way, will be up to 7 times stronger than an original bone. So they're making better bones. I tell you, the power of the human immune system is incredible. So this company says they also want to take on cleft palates. They think they could heal cleft palates in infancy with little to no surgery. By, you know, because that's when the bone doesn't close and grow properly. This is amazing. Yeah. That's in Haifa, in Israel, by the way. Let's see. One of the professors there's name is Nimrod, oddly enough. Find that interesting. Now, yeah, his name is Professor Nimrod Rosen. He's the head of the orthopedic ward at Hamek Hospital. Yeah, Nimrod Rosen. Anyway, that caught my attention. The procedure will cost less than current bone regrowth treatment. It'll be more effective, but it could cost up to $90,000. So who wouldn't pay that if your kid was born with a cleft palate? I would say, okay, I'm in hock. 90 grand, I'll do it, doc. I'll sell the house or put me into indentured servitude. I'll do it. Just get after it, Nimrod, please. Yes. The next stage over at Bonus Bio Group is regenerating fat and cartilage. They say their goal is to create spare parts for human beings. And they're not going to kill any babies to do it. They're not using any fetal embryonic tissue or anything like that. Yeah, this is really cool stuff. So, as I like to say, if we can keep civilization from falling into the hands of the maniacs, maybe we'll be able to get spare parts when I'm old. That would be great. I hope they get this done by the time I need, like, a knee or something. Yeah. Or a hip. But it might not. It might not because mankind's old habits are rearing their ugly head again. A few weeks ago, speaking of Israel, Israeli officials criticized a new law was proposed in Poland, and the Israelis are upset. The legislation would criminalizing blaming Poland as a nation for crimes committed by Nazi Germany. Polish authorities, this according to the Associated Press, Polish authorities say they want to protect Poland from being depicted as a collaborator of the Nazis. Because they say, Poland was Adolf Hitler's first victim, and we resisted the Nazis through the entire 6 years. And I agree with the Poles on that. I don't know that it should be barred by law, but I think it's incorrect to say that Poland collaborated with the Nazis, because the government of Poland didn't exist at the time. They were occupied by the Nazis. Now, were there Polish people who collaborated? Yes. And that's sad. That shouldn't be erased from history. But to say Poland, I think that's just incorrect. But now this has started a whole row, as they like to say, in Great Britain. Now a prominent Polish commentator has used an offensive slur to refer to Jews, and instead of losing his career, he was welcomed onto a TV show where he made jokes about Jews in gas chambers. Then a Catholic priest then said on state TV that it was really hard to like Jews. That priest was then quoted by the ruling party spokeswoman. And an advisor to the president said that he thought Israel's negative reaction to the law stemmed from feelings of shame at the passivity of the Jews during the Holocaust. Oh boy, here we go. So anyway, now Polish Jews feel threatened because officials in the government are saying very nasty things about Jews. The head of the Warsaw's Jewish community says that Jews feel psychologically shaken, depressed, scared. There's this hostile rhetoric. They're getting hateful phone calls and emails. They're being harassed. Anyway, you would think that the Poles and the Jews are naturally, they should have a natural affinity for one another, having shared so closely the horror of World War II. But this just proves the old axiom that my pastor has posited, that all you need for two groups of people to hate one another is two groups of people. That's really all you need. And it's just sad to see that anti-Semitism is rearing its ugly head. And I think there's criticism that can be made on both sides, both the Jews and the Catholics and the Poles. They're all acting like idiots, and they should get over all this stuff, but, they may not. And so civilization could once again fall into the hands of the madmen. as apparently it has in the fashion industry. Now, don't be shocked about this. The fashion industry, believe it or not, is full of creeps.
What?
Perverts, molesters, rapists. Yeah, more than 50 models were interviewed. They say they're seeking to expose serial predators and those who enable them in the fashion industry. You've seen the, what do they call it? The runway where the models, they dress them up like strippers. And believe it or not, that industry is filled with a bunch of creeps.
Wow.
And yeah, so the women who make all the money walking, strutting down the runway, they say it's a youth-obsessed industry that has left them feeling exploited, treated like meat and clothes hangers, and even feeling like they've been pimped out. Which, if you watch the shows, that's exactly what it looks like, that they're being pimped out. So why they're surprised by this, and why is this only coming out now? As I said, I think that as sexual immorality becomes more and more open and tolerated within any segment of society, eventually the collective gag reflex of the women just erupts, because no matter how much they think they can go along with it just for the money and the fame and the job opportunities and being invited to the right parties and the right islands and the right yachts, and they think they can do it, they actually can't. And eventually they have to vomit it all out, and that's what's happening. So apparently the complainants are predominantly females, but there are also males. And they've made credible allegations of misconduct against at least 25 photographers, agents, stylists, casting directors, and other industry professionals. The reporters, this is reported in the Boston Globe, reporters for an organization called Spotlight verified the accounts with third parties or examined contemporaneous records such as emails showing that, surprise, surprise, the fashion industry is full of creeps and weirdos and perverts. How about that? Imagine that. So there you have that, okay? That's another layer on top of everything else we've covered. What do we have here from the Decline and Fall file? In the city of Vejo, Sweden, they're about to publicly broadcast the Muslim call to prayer for the first time. And the Church of Sweden, Bishop Frederick Modius, says that I look forward to hearing both the church bells and the Muslim call to prayer in our city. That's what local Muslim leader Imam Ismail Abu Halal says that the call to prayer would enable Muslims to better integrate into Swedish society. That is the reason we want the Muslim call to prayer, is so that we can better integrate, because it's easier to plant bombs that way. He didn't actually say that. Bishop Modius is, he's also pro-immigrant. He says we should allow the unaccompanied youth to stay in Sweden, not temporarily, but permanently. let's see, and then we have a quote here from Stockholm's lesbian archbishop. No, I don't think so. I think we'll move on from that. Let's see, do we have anything else that's of interest? Because it's quite possibly that the out music is more interesting than anything else I have here. China, 60 Minutes, Alt Facts. Keith Ellison met with, who did he meet with? Louis Farrakhan and the Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani. This is a sitting Democrat congressman who claimed, and this is in 2013 after he said he got over all that. That black nationalism and all that. All right. He's the assistant to the traveling secretary or something over at the DNC. He's the chairman of the Democratic, deputy chairman. Yes, that's it. Assistant to the traveling secretary at the DNC. Which is a slush fund that pays all of his expenses, and he's a race baiter. He claimed, let's see here, he wrote a paper back in the 90s, writing under the name Keith Hakim. He claimed that the Zionists joined with the Nazis in murdering the Jews so that they would flee to Palestine. Has this guy ever appeared on Alex Jones's show? Did he appear as Alec? Did he appear as Keith Ellison or as Keith Hakim? Anyway, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and AmericanRightToLife.com. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.